Welcome to church this first Sunday after Easter. My name is Fiona McGregor, and with me today are our musicians Rosemary, Tina, and David. During the service, Trevor will bring us this week's Bible teaching. Please follow along in your order of service, or simply listen in and join in with the Amen. Let's begin our time of meeting together with a sentence of scripture, an opening prayer, and then a fantastic song. In Psalm 118, we are reminded, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes." Heavenly Father, you have brought us here today. Each time we meet is special. Help us not take this moment with you and your people for granted. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
It's a fantastic thing that believers all over the world can join in one heart and one voice, because we are part of the Church of Christ. So please rejoice together as we sing our first hymn, "Come People of the Risen King."
Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice.
rejoice.
Praise God with me, together. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You are worthy, Lamb of God, for you were slain, and with your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first Bible reading is John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24.
Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail mark in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
The second Bible reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 25. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, This is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church this morning. It is good to see you all. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. And if you're listening in for the very first time or just tuning in, hearing what's going on here at this church down here at Abbotsford, welcome. We hope you will make yourself known to us in due time. We do look forward to catching up together and coming back together as normal. But in the meantime, this is how we proclaim the word of God and make him known. So welcome. Welcome to church. We come to the time now where we open the scriptures together. And so turn with me in your Bibles. This is a part of a sermon series that we've been looking over Easter. Well, let me just first start off with a little question. Do you find it a challenge to simply trust the word of those who witnessed an event, or do you need to see for yourself? Some of our friends, even our parents, have told us from experience that going on a cruise was a great way to have a holiday. Well, in our present situation and the spread of COVID-19, this is really not a good time to go cruising. But back 5 years ago, times were different. We even read the brochures and the comments of those who had. Rosemary believed our friends, but I didn't. The thought of 2 weeks with a couple of thousand people in a floating Vegas city was not my idea of a quiet, relaxing holiday. Our friends had said it didn't have to be like that. There were plenty of places to hide and the Vegas scene can be avoided. You didn't have to do anything. Everything was pretty well paid for. Your food, your accommodation, onboard activities. You don't even have to worry about driving anywhere or flying anywhere, packing and unpacking, what time you got up or making your bed. You could eat till you could eat no more, or just sit back and read a book or work out at the gym or just watch the ocean sail by. Sounded just too good to be true. But our son was keen, Rosemary was keen too, and so with a little reluctance, I trusted the testimony of our friends and went. Well, what they said was true. I had a great, relaxing holiday. Do you find it a challenge to simply trust the word of those who witnessed an event, or do you need to see for yourself? I guess it all boils down to how trustworthy we perceive the witness to be. This is an important question for us to ask and think about at this time of Easter. We're remembering the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We weren't there. We weren't witnesses. Those who were, can we trust what they have seen and told us. And this is really important because our assurance of being right with God depends on the trustworthiness of those who were, what they wrote of what they witnessed, and from what we read from what they wrote, how to be right with God. The Christian faith in God, life in his name, is not based on feelings or assumptions, but on historical facts of eyewitnesses of the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's no difference to the gathering of evidence to bring to a court of law. So, do we simply trust the word of those who witnessed the death and resurrection of Jesus? Or do we still need to have to see for ourselves? And so we come to our Bible reading for us this morning, John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31, in our sermon series on Easter comfort. Turn with me to your Bibles and to the sermon outline emailed to you or accessed off the website, to John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. Well, the Apostle John, at this point in his Gospel, verse 24 there, records that one of the apostles, Thomas, was not there when Jesus appeared to John and the rest of the 12 on the evening of the day Christ rose from the dead a week earlier. Despite being told by the others, "We've seen the Lord," verse 25, Thomas did not believe them. Now, to not believe them meant that Thomas, at that time, perceived those other disciples to not be trustworthy witnesses. Convinced dead people do not come back to life, and that people could make up stories hoping the dead are alive again for some personal comfort reason or other, he needed to see for himself. More than that, to disprove his disbelief, he needed physical proof. Look there at verse 25. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And I think if we let ourselves step into Thomas's shoes, putting aside what we know and taking on what he didn't, for we know more now than Thomas did at the time, I think we would be skeptical too. And that's quite understandable. And that's where most people are these days regarding the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that's a very healthy place to be if you're searching seriously for the truth of God. For remember, Christian faith in God, life in his name, is not based on feelings or assumptions, but on historical facts of eyewitnesses of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Well, the time came for Thomas to witness the resurrection of Jesus for himself. Look there, verse 26. It's a week later, the disciples were in the house again, and this time Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus miraculously came and stood among them and greeted them with, "Peace be with you." Now, for the curious as to what the resurrected body of Jesus is and subsequently our own will be, John gives us a little bit of an insight here. But I'll leave you to think on that when you do the Bible study questions later, taking on board the second of our Bible readings also from 1 Corinthians 15. You can find the Bible study questions on the reverse or opposite side to the sermon outline or off the website. Now, getting back to the gospel reading, verse 27. Now appearing before them, Jesus did not actually invite, but commanded Thomas to put your finger here. See my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. I take it John is recording for his reader's benefit that Jesus wanted to give Thomas what he needed to believe, to actually see and touch Jesus alive. But not only that, that we readers would believe what Thomas witnessed and would testify to, like the other apostles. But we're not told if Thomas did or didn't put his finger where the nails were or reach out and put his hand into Jesus' side. But what we are told is, having witnessed for himself the resurrected Jesus, Thomas now declared him to be there. Look, verse 28, and said of Jesus, his Lord and my God. And note what John wrote next. So that we might trust Thomas's witness all the more, John quotes Jesus' witness of what he's heard Thomas say, verse 29, that Thomas did see and he did believe. But not just Thomas's witness, but the witness and testimony of the other apostles too. For with Jesus's witness and testimony came a rebuke. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I take it John wants us to realise that those sceptical at the time, when the other apostles had really had seen the Lord. So we who have not seen the resurrection of Jesus are to believe what they, the apostles, have seen and told. And it's no coincidence then that John then goes on to write the next two verses. Look there at verses 30 and 31. And it's why I take it John has actually recorded this miraculous event of between Thomas, Jesus, and the other apostles there and disciples. Look there at verse 30 and 31. Let me read them to you. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written. Why? Why are these written? That you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Blessed is believing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and having life in his name. It comes not by seeing, but by trusting and believing the witness and testimony of those who did. I'll say that again. Blessed is believing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and having life in his name. It comes not by seeing, but by trusting and believing the witness and testimony of those who did. So I'm glad Thomas actually missed out on seeing the resurrected Jesus at first with the others. Maybe that was God's plan that he did, and I take it was. But what we can be certain of is that the Apostle John wanted us to know that Thomas, despite the skeptic, believed what he saw, as did the other apostles, and that we should trust and believe the witness of the apostles, what they wrote as truth, and what we read of that written in the New Testament, and not doubt. So, getting back to that original question, do we need to simply trust the word of those who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus? Or do we actually need to have to see something else or see for ourselves? Believing the witness of the apostles of the person and work of Jesus Christ as they have written is all that is needed. all that is needed to come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and to have life in his name. And if that's what you've done and are doing, then you are truly blessed. You have what life is in Christ's name. For remember, the Christian faith in God, life in his name, is not based on feelings or assumptions, but on historical facts of eyewitnesses of the person and work of Jesus Christ. They have written down what they have seen, that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and have life in his name. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
In all of history, there has only ever been one person who has defeated death, and that one person is the Messiah, Jesus, who continues to live forever, is praying for us and preparing a resting place for us. May we spend much time considering him and what he has done for us, for he alone is the one who can bring us the new life, the eternal life, and the comfort in whatever faces us in our lives. Please join with us as we sing together, Consider Christ.
Consider Christ, the source of our salvation, that he should take the penalty for me. Though he was pure, a lamb without a blemish, he took my sins and nailed them to the tree. My Lord and God, you are so rich in mercy. Mere words alone are not sufficient thanks. So take my life, transform, renew, and change me, that I might be a living sacrifice. Consider Christ, that he could trust his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Though full of dread and fearful of the anguish, he drank the cup that was reserved for me. My Lord and God, you are so rich in mercy. Mere words alone are not sufficient thanks. So take my life, transform, renew, and change me, that I might be a living sacrifice. Consider Christ, for death he has defeated, and he arose, appeared for all to see. And now he sits at God's right hand in heaven, where he prepares a resting place for me. My Lord and God, you are so rich in mercy. Mere words alone are not sufficient thanks. So take my life, transform, renew, and change me, that I might be a living sacrifice. My Lord and God, you are so rich in mercy. Mere words alone
state what we believe. Do you believe in God the Father?
We believe
in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son?
We believe
in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, suffered, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
We believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. Let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and have made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen.
The Lord be with you and also with you. Let us continue in prayer, starting with Psalm 145 from verse 13. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name for ever and ever. Amen. God of mercy, you wash away our sins. You give us new birth in the Spirit, and you redeem us in the blood of Christ. As we celebrate Christ's resurrection, increase our awareness of these blessings and renew your gift of life within us. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Saving Lord, thank you that our faith is not based on feelings and assumptions, but on an historic truth that we can know thanks to the witnesses there and what they have told us. Thank you for Thomas, whose doubt helps give us confidence that we can believe. Thank you for giving us your Spirit to make this clear to us and confirming the facts for us. Lord God, help us to continue to hold on to these truths and help us to make them known to the people around us. Amen. Sovereign and mighty Lord, you are the hope and healer of your people and promise a future where there is no more sickness or crying or death. Thank you for that promise of a certain future which we long for. By your death and resurrection, you have set your people free from the penalty of sin and death. We pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We bring before you now the immediate and pressing concerns created by COVID-19 because we don't yet have that future and we still have sickness and crying and death. We're in shock at how fast everything has changed around us and the impact this is having on ourselves, our family, our friends, and so many people around us. Please prosper the work of those who are seeking a vaccine for the coronavirus. Please strengthen those who are treating the sick. Please comfort those who are mourning the loss of loved ones and those who are living in fear of this disease. Please give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis and give to your people peace beyond understanding, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety that they may find that peace which only you can give. Heavenly Father, we ask for your special care for those in developing countries where the infrastructure and facilities just don't exist to protect people and social distancing is an impossibility for so many. Please spare these countries and intervene so that the virus doesn't take hold in these populations. Lord God, this disaster seems to have arisen so suddenly. We know that you are our strength and shield, and that you remain in control even at this time. So we turn to you and put our trust in you. Give us strength to continue to be your salt and light every day for the people around us. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Saving Father, we bring before you Jessica and Shine Thomas as one of our Link missionary families, currently on home assignment in Australia. Thank you that they are able to see the positive in adapting to the lockdown in the past month. We ask that you will help them to still find their time in Australia restful and positive for them as a family. We pray for their colleagues still in the field in Thailand and ask that you will be keeping them safe whilst they are in isolation. We thank you for the spirit of unity that exists to help keep the team together at this time. Lord God, we know that things won't be clear for a number of months, so we ask for your guidance and wisdom for Jessica and Shine as they wonder about whether they'll be able to return in August as originally planned. Help them to put their trust in you and have confidence that every day is in your control and that they will be where they need to be at this time. Amen. Lord God, we also pray for the work of Defence Force chaplains and especially the new Anglican Defence Force Bishop, Grant Dibden. Heavenly Father, this is an important role in liaising between the Church and Defence Forces and helping with the pastoral oversight of the Anglican chaplains across the forces. Thank you for preparing Bishop Grant for this role, and we ask that you will uphold him each day as he looks to serve you in this work. Father, we also thank you for the work Trevor does in his role as an Army chaplain. Please continue to be with the cadet officers who have been infected with COVID-19 and are now recovering well. Thank you for equipping and preparing Trevor for the work he does in supporting other chaplains and the defence staff. Please help him to be a strong witness of your love and saving power for all, even while he has to do this work remotely. Lord God, we thank you for all in our defence forces and the chaplains who look to support them. Amen. Lord God, we recall with horror the fires at the end of last year and the start of this year. Thank you that in your mercy you sent rain that put these terrible fires out. Heavenly Father, there are so many people and communities that are still recovering and will be for some time from the impact of these fires. And now with the coronavirus, their recovery is made so much harder. Please give these people ongoing hope and endurance to manage at this time. help the government authorities and others who are assisting them to be able to continue their work and find ways to restore lives and livelihoods. Lord God, thank you that you are able to act in this way, and we look to you for continuing to do so for these people, even at this time. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for this parish and everyone present. We thank you for the unity we have as we strive to more and more be growing as followers of Jesus together. Work within us by your Spirit to help us to clothe ourselves as your people with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Give us open and generous hearts and the willingness to forgive each other as you have forgiven us. Please work your peace in our lives and give us thankful hearts so that whatever we do it all in your name and giving thanks to you for everything. Heavenly Father, we have a number of people who have special needs at this time. Lord, for all our people in need, please give them peace and comfort. And where it's necessary, please help each person to get the wise and insightful treatment that they need. We ask especially for Lynn Clark as she continues to recover from her recent operation. Give her daily strength and continuing improvement. We ask that you will uphold Graham as he supports Lynn. Lord God, we also ask for Bill's mum, Jean, who is one of the residents at Newmarch House and has been inadvertently infected with the virus. We ask that you will protect her, keep her safe from harm, and help her to be well treated in a way that avoids the worst ravages of this virus. In your will, we ask that this may be granted to her. Heavenly Father, we know that it is at times such as these that we turn to you, trusting that you will provide what is needed in all ways. Lord God, we bring before you these and our other prayers. Please guide each of us through your Spirit to be mindful of others, looking for ways to use our gifts and talents you have blessed us with to support, love, and serve the people around us. Please strengthen us to do your will and live our lives to your honour and glory. In the name of Jesus, our Saviour, we pray. Amen. Let's join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, I draw your attention to the bulletin now, and again, just noticing that thank you for contacting people. Thank you for keeping in contact. I hear that people are ringing up around and getting and keeping each other up. I gather it's getting a little bit harder now, being in isolation. The novelty is starting to really wear off. So if you do need any assistance in picking things up or getting some help, please don't hesitate to call me or Janice or Karen and see if we can help in some way, and being mindful of others around about us. Thank you for listening in on a Sunday morning or whenever you listen in to our church services. Thank you for those for your ongoing giving towards the church here and the work that's here and beyond. Again, there's directions in there if you're worried about getting your offertory to the wardens and to the church. There's some information there in the bulletin for you to go to. Some of you, I notice, are mastering the Zooming. Well done. I am too. And we're hoping that maybe we might be able to do some face-to-face over the internet conversations, Bible studies, one-on-one discussions. If you're interested in doing something that or learning how to do that, please get in contact with me and I'll take you through that. Next Sunday's sermon is the last of our little sermon series on Easter comfort. And we're thinking about do not give up.
Very timely that we should consider what our hope is built on. And as Trevor mentioned earlier in the sermon, our beliefs are not based on how we feel, which can change rather fast. But for any Christian, our hope is built on Jesus' blood and his righteousness. His blood was shed a historical reality, and his righteousness is there for all to see if we look and ask God to show us. Please join with us as we sing together our final hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Together, Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.